One of the biggest questions I get asked as a pastor and have been asked over several years of ministry is, how do you hear and identify the voice of God? How do you know when God's speaking to you, and how do you hear the voice of the Lord? And so we're starting a new series today on how to do that. How do we train our ears to hear? How do we listen to the voice of God, and how does he speak to us? And today we're going to be talking about this, and today we're talking about learning how to hear God, learning to hear God. And I believe today that this is such an important message. It probably is one of the most important messages I'll preach all year. I preached part of this last year, as far as I'm concerned, it'll be something we preach every year here at Destiny Church because it's such an important part of who we are. In preparation for the church plant here in Destiny Church, I spent a lot of time in prayer and saying, God, what do you want us to be? What are you calling us to be? What are the core values of our church? And who do you want us to become and evolve into? And one of the things that people ask is this big thing about discipleship. It's a big thing, and from small churches to large churches, it's a big question. How do you disciple people? I mean, it's one of the hot topics in any church conference you go to, the Q&A time, and people are talking, and pastors are changing notes and talking about what's working for you. One of the big things that we still struggle with in America that I see in the church is learning to disciple people. And it's a hard thing. How do you disciple people? And do you do it from the pulpit? Well, you can disciple partially from the pulpit, but, you know, once or twice a week does not give you a lot of time to be discipled. You need more than that. And how do you disciple people? Do we establish a program, point A to B to C? You know, we take you through a graduation process. And when you graduate, if you attended all the classes on a Wednesday night for 3 years, you've graduated, you're a disciple, you know, are you then officially a disciple? You know, I've seen that. People think that's what it is. Discipleship is something that happens through a program that you go through. And there's nothing wrong with Christian education. We're very much believing that and want to do that and do that. But we want to, it's more than that. Discipleship is more than just a program. It's more than you just completing Bible college or Bible classes. Discipleship comes through wisdom. Discipleship comes through wisdom, and it's not gained overnight. You don't, how many people remember when you first were married? Hey, how many remember when you first stood up, the first time you got married, and you stood up and you said, I do, you know, your legs are shaking. You thought you knew it all, didn't you? You thought, man, I've got this marriage thing down pat. We talked about this a few weeks ago in reality check on Father's Day, and we thought we had it down pat. You know, I'm going to this marriage. I know how to be the husband. You know, I'll be the husband my dad never was, and she'll be the wife I never, you know, we have these things, and we think we know it all. Then we get into our marriage and realize we don't know anything. You know, that we don't have it figured out. It takes time. It takes time as you live your life. And the longer you're married, you learn how to become a better husband. You learn how to become a better father. The more you're a father, I should have it down pat by now, but the more you're a father, the more you get better at it. It's the same thing that happens in our Christian walk. Wisdom doesn't come overnight. And discipleship doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of time. It's a process of growing. It's a growing process, a maturing process that happens. And you can be discipled through mentors in your life. Mentors can disciple you. Or you also, I believe, is one of the most important ways we got to put in the DNA of Destiny Church is we've got to learn what it means to disciple yourself. Okay? We got to learn what it means to disciple yourself. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? It means that you will have mentors in your life and you can form a relationship with men and women in a circle of influence, and they help mentor you in certain areas of your life, and it'll help make you a better dad, and help make you a better husband, a better Christian by being around them. That's good mentorship. That's good discipleship. I believe it also goes further than that, or you've got to take it upon yourself and say, you know what? I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to learn what it means, and my neighbor cannot do that for me. I can come and I can learn on Sundays, but my pastor cannot disciple me 100%. There's going to come a point in your life where you realize I've got to press for myself. And how do we grow? And we talked about this before. How do we grow? I did not grow by saying, all right, today, Carlos, you got to be like Paul. Next year, I expect you to be where Paul is spiritually. And Paul, I expect you to be where Carlos is spiritually next year. No, we don't compare each other. That's not how we grow, by comparing to your neighbor. How do you grow spiritually? By comparing to what? To yourself. We grow by comparing to ourselves. I should be further along in my Christian walk today than I was 6 months ago. And I should be further along today than I was a year ago. I should look back and say, you know what? I have grown spiritually in the Lord this year. If I'm still doing at the same place spiritually, then I have not matured. I have not gone and grown in the Lord. Now, I may be more mature than the person sitting next to me who's only been saved a year or two or three. But hello, you've been saved. Some of you have been saved 20, 25 years, and you're still stuck where you were 15 years ago because you have not learned the principle of discipling yourself. Now, listen, we can all get there. We all can get in a place of rut of feeling satisfied spiritually or saying, I've got it learned here, and so I don't need to grow. We all need to grow. I'm the first one to say, I need to grow. As a pastor, as a father, as a husband, I need to grow. As a Christian, I need to grow. I am constantly being formed in the image of Christ. That is my destiny, to be formed in His image. And I do not stop in that destiny. I am called to continue to grow. I grow and learn how to disciple myself. There's two kinds of wisdom according to James 3:15. If you get your Bibles, don't you turn it? I'm going to read it to you. In James 3:15, write this down. You want to study it this week in your own personal time. James 3:15 is talking about two kinds of wisdom here. It says this wisdom, let's back it up and actually start in verse 13. Who is wise and understands among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have a bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Look what it says here in verse 15. This wisdom, talking about that kind, descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For the envy of self-seeking exists. Confusion, every evil thing are there. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above, heavenly wisdom, first is pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And today we have two kinds of wisdom. First, there's wisdom on the earth, and the Word of God talks about the wisdom on earth is unspiritual, it's demonic influence, it's envy, it's full of selfish ambition. And can we say there's a lot of that today? Can you relate to say, yes, there's a lot of that society today. A lot of wisdom that people want to give you is very self-seeking. This is how you get ahead in life. You step on a person in front of you, and you kick the dust on a person behind you. No matter who it hurts, if you want to get ahead in life, you're going to have to just be a bull in a china closet and go after it, no matter what happens. That's selfish ambition. He calls us demonic and envy and pride. He said, this kind of wisdom is not good. He said, but there is another wisdom that God longs for you and I to walk in. It's a wisdom from heaven. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's considerate. It's full of mercy and produces good fruit. And I don't know about you, but that's the wisdom I want to learn to walk in. That's the kind of wisdom I want to learn what it means to be a mercy giver. Where I'm walking and showing mercy to people who don't necessarily deserve mercy. I want to know what it is to have the peace of God that rules my life and rules my home. When people look at me and say, man, there's such a peace about him, I want what he has. I want this kind of wisdom that comes and produces good fruit in my life. I want to be a fruit of the Spirit person who's producing the Spirit of God in my life and the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we get this kind of wisdom from God? How do we get this kind of wisdom? We all want this wisdom. We can all say it on paper, we want this wisdom. But how do we get this wisdom? Number one, we see God will teach us. God will teach us. And how does God teach us? First of all, he teaches us through personal experience. Personal experience will teach you a lot. Now, I remember when I was a kid that, you know, Superman is coming out. I went a couple weeks ago, about 10 of us guys went to see, after our men's group, went to see Superman. Just came out, and I'll be honest with you, I loved Superman when I was growing up. I love all the superheroes, you know. Saturday mornings, I couldn't wait. I set my alarm to get up to watch the Super Friends. I wanted to be every one of them, you know, Aquaman, Batman, that whole thing. I was it, you know. I was always doing Superman. We had my friends. We had them out. We had our outfits. You know, we make our homemade outfits, and we played Super Friends all the time. I was up. Super Friends, bowl of cereal, and Super Friends. It all went together, you know, Saturday mornings. And we loved it. And I used to think, you know, I can fly. My friends don't know it yet, but if I could just get on top of that house right there, if I just had this magic cape I'm going to make, tie it around my neck and jump off, I know that I will fly because the power lies within the cape. The secret is the cape. So I don't wear my cape around. I can't fly. So I remember climbing on top of my parents' house and tying that cape around my neck, standing up there with my Underoos shirt that I had. It had a big ass on it. Thinking, I am Superman. I'm going to fly. I got the cape. And I remember jumping off there thinking, I'm going to at least glide, you know. And how many know I didn't fly, but I went, shoop, fell down. I mean, it's a wonder I didn't. I think I cracked a rib or something because I remember all the air leaving my body. I remember going, mama, you know, you want to scream for your mama, but you can't get anything out. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had those times you're out of breath and you're laying there, you just knocked the wind out of you, every bone hurts in your body. Thank God we had a single-story house and it wasn't a two-story house because I probably would have tried it. And I thought, it's the dumbest thing I've ever done. And so as I got older, I got smarter. I realized I cannot fly. Do not jump off the house. Jump off the house, it's going to hurt. And so I told my other friends, you can't fly. I know you think you can jump off your house with a cape and you're going to fly, but do not fly because you will hurt yourself. But I learned the secret. The secret was not in the cape. The secret was what? In the umbrella. I knew if I jumped out of the tree instead of my house with the umbrella, that the umbrella would act as a parachute and I would not fall at a high pace of speed, but I would fall very gently to the ground, just like Mary Poppins, okay? We could do it if the secret was in the umbrella. Not just a little umbrella. I mean, I got a big umbrella, okay? We had the biggest umbrella my mom had, and I jumped out of the tree with the umbrella. And you know what? I fell just as fast. And it hurt just as much. And so I told my friends, do not jump out of the tree with an umbrella. It hurts. And so we learn life lessons the hard way. Life will teach you by personal experience that you will get hurt by doing certain things. And so we can do this. I can take off and I can run into the wall as hard as I can. And when I hit the wall, I'm going to get up and say, oh, wall is hard. Nose is soft. Do not run into the wall. I can learn that lesson. And I can say, Chuck, do not run into the wall. Wall is hard. Nose is soft. It'll hurt you. And Chuck says, okay, I will not run into that wall. And Chuck can do one of two things. He can say, you know what? Nah, I'm going to try it for myself. He can run into the wall. And Noah, oh, the wall is hard. Nose is soft. Do not run into the wall. Or you can say, you know what? Pastor Gene told me that that hurts. And so I don't have to run into that and experience the pain to know that wall is hard. If my nose is soft, I'm not going to run into the wall. And personal experience is helps us grow. Now today, as we look around, we know that we learn through personal experience. How else do we learn? We learn by other people's experience. Other people's experience. Wow. I can learn it by other people's experience. I can tell Chuck, all right, Chuck, I did this. Don't run into the wall. It's going to hurt. He says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I think I'll take your advice, Pastor Gene. I'm not going to run into the wall. So which one do you think hurts the most? I have the knowledge that the wall hurts. Chuck has the knowledge that the wall hurts. Who went through the most pain to get that knowledge? I did, because I ran into the wall first. But Chuck was smart. He said, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to take your knowledge, and I'm going to apply it to my life, and I'm not going to run into the wall because it hurts. And he gained knowledge without going through the pain. See, we can gain wisdom without going through the pain if we are smart people. I don't want you, but I want to be a person of wisdom, a person of knowledge that has knowledge not gained just through pain, but through other people's life experience. Listen to what Proverbs 22:3 says here. A wise man sees danger and takes refuge, but the unwise keeps going and suffers for it. A wise man sees danger and takes refuge, but the unwise keeps going and he suffers for it. Learning to be wise is learning to learn from those around you without having to go through the same thing. Because how do we learn? Through personal experience, through consequences. when I learn through personal experiences, I also have to face consequences. And that's what's so tough, is that many times our consequences will cost you more than you want to pay. Personal consequences will cost you more than what you want to pay. It will cost you your marriage. It can cost you your children. It can cost you your job. It can cost you so many things in your life. And you look back and say, man, I was so stupid for doing that. I wish I would have learned this earlier. But many times by the time you learn the lesson, you paid a bigger price than you ever wanted to pay. By the time you learned I need to spend time with my kids and I value their time, they've grown up and they're out of the house and they don't want to come home anymore because you didn't spend time with them when they were younger, because you didn't take time to be with them. And so now all of a sudden you miss them. You say, I miss that relationship with my children. Why aren't they at my house more often? Why don't they want to go to lunch with me? Why don't they want to go on vacation with me? Why don't they do this and that? Well, where were you when they were growing up? Well, I was trying to provide for them. I was trying to work for them. And I was trying to give. Yeah, those things were important. But also, you have to nurture that along the way. And so what do? We learn this, that, hey, if you spend all your time working, and don't spend time with your family, what's going to happen? Your family will move on without you. Then one day you're going to get through with work, get where you want to financially, and look back and say, all right, let's go play. And they're going to go, too bad, Dad. We've made other relationships. We've formed other habits, other structure in our life. We're gone. We'll see you at Christmas. We'll see you at Thanksgiving. What happens? Well, I didn't know if I had an affair that I would lose my family. See, we go through things in our life, and we look at the consequences, and we learn from the consequences. And so we can be smart. We can learn things from other people, or we can learn things the hard way. And so today, let me ask you this question. How many today, someone could raise their hand where you're at and say, you know what, I have learned a life lesson the hard way. Raise your hand. Keep it up. I have learned a life lesson the hard way. Okay. Now listen. Keep your hands raised. Now I can do this. I can choose to do this right here. I can choose to say, you know what, I'm going to make every mistake you made. I'm going to make every mistake and suffer the same consequences and be very unwise. Or I can do this. I can say, you know what? I'm going to take a lesson from you. 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 I'm going to put it in my heart, and I'm not going to have to go through the same thing. All right. Don't spend time with kids. Lose relationship with them. Don't give my wife attention. She'll find somebody else to give her attention. Don't do this. So I take knowledge and I learn these things and I get them from you. Then I become what? I become wise. Where? I become wise beyond my years. I've had people ask me that in counseling. Say, Pastor, man, how'd you get so wise? How did you get? I'm like, you know, that's, you learn. You know, you learn through life. You learn. I've destined my heart. I would always be a student of learning from people and from other people. And whether it's in ministry or life, spending time with people, I take the good. I pick their brain and say, well, what works for you? And I use it in my life. I can use it. What didn't work for you? And I try to say, all right, I want to avoid that. And so in doing that, that makes me wise beyond my years because I have learned to take lessons from other people. And we can do that. That's why it's so important that when we come together in our women's and our men's ministries, that we learn that when people are talking, that they're talking about the life issues they're going through, that we learn from each other and we pull from each other. And someone's talking about, hey, man, I remember I went through this time in my life, and it cost me a difficult time in my marriage or my children or my job. That we take that, guys, and we listen to that. We say, yeah, you know what? I can relate to you. I have felt that same thing. Well, do you want to have the same consequences it cost them? No. So I take that, and I learn that lesson. I put it in my heart and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And thank you for opening up and sharing your heart, because you have just saved me a life lesson. You have just saved me a hard consequence by learning what you did and how it cost you. I don't want to lose my business. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my salvation. I don't want to lose this. You know, I don't want to lose my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to stay plugged in. I want to learn what it means. How did you do it? And so we talk to each other. We learn from each other. That's gaining wisdom beyond your years. That's how we gain wisdom for each other. And the Word of God talks about we would learn this wisdom from each other. God longs for us to do that. Now, how many today would say this? How many would say today, if we had a book and we could put all of our experiences in one book? I mean, if everybody here raised their hand who said they had made a mistake and consequences and had some life skills to give us, if we would take all this and put it in one book, this morning and have it nicely bound up and ready to go, how many would say that money, that book would be worth a lot of money, wouldn't it? That book, man, if I could read that book and learn a lot of things. I mean, if there's a book out there that tells me as a pastor, man, you do all these things right here, you know, and this will save you a lot of trouble. Do not do any of these stupid mistakes I made. This is what you do. And those books become valuable to you as a pastor. They become valuable to you as an individual. If we could take, we would pay a lot of money for those, wouldn't we? How many would pay $1,000 for a book if it would cost you, if it would take you and cost you and cost you $1,000, but you know what? It would save you a lifetime of hurt and pain. How many think that would be worth a good $1,000? You think so? That would be a great investment, wouldn't it? Yeah, $1,000 to save myself a lifetime of pain? Well, here today I'm here to tell you that we don't have one book that does that. But we have 66 books, and it's called the Bible. And it's a lifetime of knowledge of people who God has spoken through, have gone through mistakes, who have made mistakes, and who have had some bad times in our life and had some good times and wisdom. And it's called the Bible. The Biblios stands for Bible, and it stands for biography, the library. It's a collection of 66 books that we call the Bible, and it is valuable today. It's worth more than any $1,000. It's worth more than $10,000. If we'll learn to read the life lessons out of this and apply it to our life, we'll learn to get the knowledge that God has made for you and I to have. When we learn to tap into this knowledge, we know that God, hey, you left us wisdom on how to treat my family, on how to run my business, on how to be a Christian, on how to talk to others, on how to walk through sickness, on how to walk through pain. You gave us instruction through example of people who failed and yet got up and kept going and do great things for God. People who blew it all. People who murdered. People who had affairs. People who did all these things. And yet, God, you took them and used them. Wow, there's a lot of knowledge in here. People who've blown it royally. There's a lot of knowledge in here, God. Well, how do they respond? What do they do? There's wisdom that tells me how I can not make the same mistakes they made. There's wisdom that tells me how to avoid those mistakes and those traps. There's wisdom how I treat my neighbor, how I treat my employees, my employer. It's the knowledge that God has left for you and I, and it's up to you and I to choose to walk in this knowledge. Some of you here today and say, you know what, I don't have time for my day for anything else. I don't have time for my day to do anything else. My day is so full, Pastor. How am I going to read this Bible every day? How am I going to learn to study it and figure it out? And I say today to you this, that comes to our number second point here. You got to learn to choose life priorities biblically. Learning to choose life priorities biblically. If you're going to learn today to be a person who gains knowledge and says, you know what, I want to be a person of knowledge. I don't want to continue to make the same mistakes over and over again, and I want to learn to avoid some mistakes. You're going to have to learn to choose life priorities biblically. Don't let desires or whims of society tell you what you like and don't like. And we're so much people of influence. I mean, think about it. We let society tell us, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. We let Oprah tell us this, and we let the news tell us this, and Fox News lead us here, and CNN, and we listen to this, and our work, and everybody's telling us what we should like, what we shouldn't like, and everybody's telling us what we should do and shouldn't do. First of all, you got to establish that my priorities are not based on what society tells me. Establishing biblical priorities, I have got to learn to say, what is important to me? And so what you need to do this week is you need to go and you need to write them down. Write down your priorities this week. I challenge you as your pastor, find a place this week and write down your priorities. What are my biblical priorities in my life? Don't just say them. Write them down. Put them in your Bible. Put them on your mirror where you can see them somewhere and say, what is my priorities? And your first priority should be what? Should be your relationship with Jesus Christ. Should be the number one thing. Because when I get this thing right, everything else will begin to fall in line the way it should. But when I keep him not the number one thing, everything else is going to be out of kilter. Everything else is going to be out of sync. And so you're going to struggle the rest of your life. Why isn't everything working the way it should? Why is my spiritual walk the way it should? Why isn't my family? Everything runs in a stress and it runs in chaos. Look, is Jesus Christ really the top priority of your life? And so this is where it goes back to saying, Pastor, I don't have time to do this. I say, yes, you do. You'll make time for the things that you want. You will make times for the things you want. Listen, I remember, guys, I often have those long weeks where people have been in the hospital and your counseling sessions, you're studying, you're preparing for special speaking. I mean, packed weeks, and I think, you know what? My wife comes to me, honey, can you do this? I'm like, honey, I can't do another thing. I'm so mentally out of it, you know, physically, honey, just please, just let me have a day of rest today, and I got to get focused, you know, I just cannot do another thing. And the phone will ring. Hey, you want to play golf? I'm like, oh, hallelujah. It's a miracle. I'm energized. Yeah. Let's get out there at 5:30 in the morning. I don't need to sleep in. Let's do it, you know. Let's get it going. You know, we're energized. Why? Because I like to play golf. And so if someone calls to play golf, I can do it. I'm going to do it. I'm energized. Why? Because it's a priority of my life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You got different things, ladies, here today. You're like, I ain't got time to do anything else. These kids are stressing me out. You know, oh God, you know, take me home, please. Just call me home today. You know, moms, you've had those days. And someone will call, your mom will call, your best friend will call, your sister or someone will call and say, hey, the mall's got a sale going on. Let's go down to the mall. And you're like, hallelujah. All of a sudden, you got energy to take care of the kids, get the kids a bath and get them ready. And, you know, you're doing this, cleaning the house, cooking supper, and it's all done within an hour. So you got time to go to the mall and shop and do your sales. Why? Because it's a priority. You like doing that. And so I say to this today, what is a priority in your life you will make time for? What becomes a priority we will make time for? And so we got to learn that what is our priorities in life? And we got to write them down. God, my number one priority is my relationship with you above, beyond anything else. My relationship with you. If I grow in you, I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better employer. My life will change around. But first and foremost, I've got to have the priority of you in my relationship with you. And so we write them down. We list them. And how do you do it on a consistent basis? This is the big question. How do you do this on a consistent basis? How do you choose priorities? So for me, it's my life priorities are this. It's my relationship with God. It's my wife. It's my children. And then it's my ministry. That's my priorities. Is it pastor? You mean being pastor is above your wife? No, it's not. It's God. It's my wife. It's my children. And then it's my ministry. That's my priorities. And listen, I will be there anytime you need me, day or night, as your pastor. I will be there for you. I will help you any way I can. I will do anything I can to help you. But my children and my wife will always come first. They will always get my first attention. Because why? Because they are my priorities. And my relationship with God has always got to be foremost. I cannot suffer doing ministry that I lose out on my personal time with God, because then I'll have nothing to pastor with, okay? I'll have no strength left to pastor my family and to lead my family. So we list priorities. So how do you do that? If choosing time to be with God, how do you mix it up with things you like, okay? That's why I tell you, mix it up with things you like. How do you do that? So for me, I love to work out, even though I don't do it as much as I should. I love to work out. And if I go to the fitness center, you know what? I'm jumping on the weights. I'm like, poof, poof, poof. Oh, it feels good. I'm getting adrenaline from that. You know, I love to look in the mirror when you're lifting weights, because that's when you look the best, you know. When you just got through pumping that iron. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. It takes like 10 years off, and you're like, man, I look good, don't I? You know, guys, we think about that, because all of a sudden your muscles begin to inflate because you hadn't worked out in 2 months, and you're all stressed out. So you are going to swell up for about 15 minutes. So you look good. But you know what? Get me over the treadmill. I have no desire to get on the treadmill. You might as well pull my teeth. I do not like to get on the treadmill. For some reason, I don't like to run, okay? But I know it's essential when I'm really trying to lose weight, if I'm really trying to get in good shape. I know it's essential that I don't just lift weights, that I do some cardiovascular, and I've got to run and get in shape. And so I have picked a fitness center where they have TVs right in front of the treadmill. And I go and I turn on ESPN Sports Center, because I like sports. And so I can go and I can watch Sports Center, a thing that I like and enjoy. And I say, all right, I'm gonna run this treadmill until the first commercial. You know, all right, I can make one more commercial. You know, and I can work. And I watch. Pretty soon, I've ran for 30 minutes watching Sports Center, catching up on all the scores and highlights. And I wanted to do that anyway. And I enjoyed running the exercise. When I got done, I broke a good sweat. I feel good about myself, and I've done it with something I enjoy doing. So the same thing has got to happen. What is my life priorities? My first priority is my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife, my children, and then my ministry. So how do I do that and keep it right? And so I got to learn when is my time to study with God, and how do I do that? What do I enjoy? Some of you are very much into praise and worship. And for you, you're going to have to find a time alone where you put on a worship CD and you're spending time listening to some Christian music and no one's there, and you're entering into worship time. You enjoy that. Then you're going to sit time and read God's word. Others of you, maybe you're a morning person. You love your coffee, and you're going to get up, and you're going to go down to the coffee shop and get some coffee and take your Bible with you. You're going to get up and make some coffee. Others of you are night people, and you say, I'm not a morning person, man, Pastor. And I understand that, okay? Been there, done that. And so I know what it is. And so you can say, you know what, I'm not going to get up, and I'm just not ready to read my Bible when I get up. I'm lucky to get dressed in time for work and get the kids to school, you know. And so some of you know what I'm talking about. That's okay, but when is your time? Maybe it's when you put the kids to bed and you got some downtime and it's quiet around the house. That's your time, and maybe you usually watch TV and chill out or do something relaxed. Learn to put it into the time that you enjoy, and then you'll do it. I know that my wife and I, she's a priority, but we don't always like doing the same things, okay? We don't like doing a lot of the same things. There's a lot of things we don't like doing together. But there's a lot of things we do enjoy doing together. We love, first of all, I love to eat, man. How many love to go out to eat? I love to eat. We love to eat. That's why I need to work out. So we love to eat. So it's a priority that we go to lunch and we spend time together. Because why? I can eat lunch, something I enjoy doing, going out to eat. And I also spend time with my wife, talking to her and communicating to her. Otherwise, I may not have done it if I hadn't scheduled that lunch with her. So I put in something I enjoy, going to lunch. And I also am doing something that I need to do. My priority is spending time with my wife. My children. I need to spend time with my children. So what do? We're going to Six Flags. I'm going to enjoy myself at Six Flags with my boys. Why? Because it's important. And I'm doing something they love to do, I love to do. We're getting together. We're doing it together. We love to go to the movies. Our family loves movies. We go see a lot of movies together because we enjoy going together. And we enjoy laughing and doing those things together. And so we take something we all enjoy doing, and we do it together. And so I'm enjoying myself. And at the same time, I'm spending time with my children. I'm spending time with my family. And I'm doing my priorities. See what I'm talking about? We stir up things with things we enjoy with our life priorities. That's how it becomes a lifestyle. That's how you do this on a regular basis and not give up. And last today, how do we do this? We spend daily time at God's feet. Spend daily time at God's feet. How do we grow in wisdom? Because spiritual maturity comes in layers. It comes in layers. Spiritual maturity, it comes in layers. It's like a good coat of varnish. You know, when you see someone working on a wood project, they sand it down, and they sand it down, and they varnish it, and they varnish it, and they sand it some more, and they varnish it. It takes several layers, and finally, pretty soon, it'll get a depth to it. It'll get that shine that it needs to have. It'll get that mature look that you're looking for. But it takes several layers and several hours and several times of stripping and putting it on there, finishing coat. See, our maturity comes in layers. We just don't say, all right, I'm going to grow in wisdom this week, and this week I am wise. It doesn't happen because I'm not going to get all the life experiences that I need in 1 week. I can learn this week. If I can take a life experience of myself and I can take something from you, then I've grown twice as fast. So I can mature in a higher rate, in a faster rate, but it doesn't come all at once. It comes in layers. Look what Luke 10:38 says. Luke 10:38, and this is just as Jesus here, and he's meeting, and Mary and Martha are there. And it happened as we went to enter to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister whose name was Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. And then Martha comes in and is distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, Martha. It's kind of like, you know, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing, listen to what Jesus said, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen to do that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus was saying, Martha said, Jesus, I know that you're here, but we got to serve all these people, and we got to get the dinner ready and get the drinks ready and do this. And I'm doing it by myself, and here's my sister sitting at your feet. She's hanging out with the guys at your feet. She should be in here helping me prepare the meal, helping me take care of the business. And Jesus said, listen, Martha, 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 you're missing the point. It's not all just about ministry to people. It's not all about ministry, but she has chosen the one most important thing, and that's to sit at the feet of her Savior. She has chosen a style of worship to find herself sitting at God's feet. Is Jesus against ministry? No, he's not. We see the scripture where he talks about being involved in ministry and serving. Those are good things, and he's asked us to do that. But he says, don't let those things take the place of spending time daily at his feet. He said, that's still the most important thing, and she's chosen it. He said, Pastor, I'm involved in so many things in ministry. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're being fruitful and productive. That's great. But are you spending time alone with him on a daily basis? Because that's where the maturity comes. That's where the wisdom comes. That's where I gain the knowledge that he has for me. Great athletes and musicians all have this in common. They practice things every day. The same thing every day. World-class athletes, they practice and do the same things every day. World-class musicians, they do the same things every day. What do world-class pianists do? Someone tell me who's a music here knows what. What do world-class pianists do every day? Someone know what they do? What do they play every day? They get down and play classical music every day. Let's pick a hard piece today, and we're going to choose that to study today. No, classical musicians, what they do every day? They play their scales every day. Da 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 da. They just keep doing it up and down, doing playing their scales up and down. Some of you didn't even know I knew what scales were. Scales up and down. It's not very glamorous. It doesn't sound the greatest, but you know what? What they're doing is they're creating mobility in their fingers so that when they sit down to play a Bach piece or Beethoven or something like that, their fingers will twist around and they'll hit the thing. Woo, look at this. You ever listen to those guys play, like, how do they get their fingers to move that fast and to touch and to reach that key? That's because every day they're doing their scales. Now, the scales, they're not glamorous. They don't sound good. But because they do their scales every day, they're learning flexibility. And so when they have a big assignment put in front of them, like a Bach or Beethoven, they can sit down and say, they go for it. And it sounds beautiful. They're up for it because they do their scales every day. It was like this. It was the great pianist, Paderewski, who was a great concert pianist. I read about his life, and it says that he practiced scales 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day he practiced his scales. And for 3 hours a day he practiced his scales, and he said this. He said, if I skip my scales one day, even one day, and I play the next day, I know that I skipped my scales one day. I can tell the difference. He says, if I skip it for 2 days, he goes, my coach can hear the difference. He says, if I skip my scales for 3 days and I play in public, the world knows the difference. And I say to you and I today, our scales are our daily time with God. Our scales become our daily time with God. When you are doing daily time with God, sitting at his feet, you're going to be able to handle any life assignment that's given to you. Some of you think, man, I can never do that. If God asked me, I can never do that. Yeah, it's because you ain't spending time with him. But man, when you learn to spend time with him daily, and God says, hey, I got an assignment for you. Your pastor comes and asks you to do something, to teach this, or to lead a group, or to do this. You're like, piece of cake, we got it, all right. Why? Because you are spending time daily with the master. So how do I do this today in closing? How do I do this today? How do I do my daily devotions? Some of these seem simple, but I want to walk through it with you, so I want to make sure you know what you're doing. First of all, you bring your Bible. How many know that's good if you're going to do devotions to bring your Bible? And some of you think, why did you say, because there's so many devotion books out there today. They're all good, and I'm for books. I'm for other authors, and there's a lot of knowledge to be gained. I'll read a lot of their books, but there's nothing that can take the place of the Word of God. Nothing takes the place of the Word of God. And so for me to read what somebody else has wrote about the Word of God, it's okay, but I have got to learn to read the Word of God for myself also. I've got to learn to put the Word of God in my heart also. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God. And it teaches us to do the right things. And so we know that I have got to put what God has inspired in my life. Second thing you bring is a pen. Mark in your Bible. Somebody say, what do you mean marking my Bible? I can't mark in this Bible. It's holy. This Bible is holy. You can't mark in your Bible. You can't deface the Word of God. And I say to you today, and please don't be offended, I say, this Bible in itself is not holy. It does not become holy until you take the words that have been written and put it in your heart. Then it becomes a lie that you do not sin against God. But just by itself, it's ink on paper. But when you take it, what God has spoken, and you read it, and you put it into your heart, then it becomes holy. Some of you, the reason why you don't know how to grow is because you think the Bible is just a mantelpiece collecting dust. The Bible says you put it on the coffee table. So when people come in, they know that we're a Christian home, and it keeps out the devil. Some of you walk around with your Bible in your home going, ooh, devil, you ain't welcome here. But yeah, we never take time to read it. Never take time to put it in our heart. See, when you want to grow in wisdom and mature, you read it on a daily basis. And so you'll need a pen. You mark in your Bible. Mark in there. Something stands out to you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you when you're reading. Chuck and I can read the same thing. Lisa and I could read the same thing, and all three of us would have something different that would come out of there. And so it's important to have it so I can write down a thought. Hey, God spoke this to me. This scripture stood out to me, so I underlined it so I can be ready to mark in my Bible or have a paper with me, which is the next thing. Number three is reading plan. Have a reading plan. Know that it's important that we read the whole Bible. Because what happens if I tell you to read your Bible and you haven't ever read your Bible that much? You'll read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Proverbs, and Psalms. And you go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Proverbs, and Psalms. And then we'll go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Proverbs, and Psalms. And what happens is this. We got a bunch of old men by the name of Jonah, Malachi, and Micah, and Joel, Habakkuk. And they're saying, nobody comes to my house no more. Nobody wants to come and visit me. Hey, I'm here in the Word of God. We've got these minor prophets back here, and they're waiting for someone to come and visit them. So it's important you have a reading schedule so that you read the whole Word of God. Read the whole Word of God, the old and the new. We don't live just in the Old Testament. We have a New Testament. We don't live just in the New Testament. We have an Old Testament, and both hold value to the Christian. We need to read both. The fourth thing is a journal. Did I bring my journal? This is over there. Why don't you bring my journal to me? There you go. We have you today. This is one of the best tools I've ever seen for Christian walk, daily walk. Now, last year, I spoke a message on this, real similar to this, and I asked people to begin to do this last summer, and we had a lot of people in our church begin to do it. And I heard so many testimonies, personal testimonies, come forth out of people's life. It's how I've been learning to grow in my relationship with Jesus. I'm like, wow, this is so cool, Pastor. And it's one of the best things I've ever seen. It's called a Life Journal. In it, it's got a reading plan that tells you, it's got dates in there, so you can read it on July 1st. I'll read this date here, this scripture here. And if you stick with it, in a whole year's time, you read the whole Bible through in a year's time. But also, it's got a place in there for you to make notes. It's got what's called a SOAP application. This is so good. And so it gives you three passages of scripture approximately that you'll read, and you'll read those three passages of scripture. And those three passages, you'll pick your favorite verse, and you'll write it down. It's called SOAP, S-O-A-P. Everybody say SOAP. Say, tell the turn to your neighbor, say, you need some SOAP. And you take your scripture, and you write down your favorite scripture in there. And if you write down your favorite scripture, you'll take an observation and make it about that scripture. And if you make an observation about that scripture, you'll say a little prayer about that. So you'll read a scripture and say, out of all the scriptures I read today, this scripture stood out to me, Psalms 31:3, and you write the scripture out, and you'll make an observation. And God's telling me I need to spend more time with Him. And then I'll make an observation about that. All right, I need to spend daily time with God. And at the bottom, you'll put a prayer, God, help me today to put you first and above everything else in my life. And so you do that, and you'll list it. And every day you do those things, and what happens is this. Daily, God's speaking to you, and you're learning to hear the voice of the Lord. If you're a person today and you say, you know what, God speaks to me all the time, I say you may be a little fruity. Because we see the scripture, God didn't speak to people every day of their life, audibly. Very few times in scripture we see where God spoke. And what he did was a big deal. He said, Moses, Moses. And, you know, he talks about that in scripture. He would say it twice. And it was something that happened. Well, God did speak audibly, but he didn't just go around saying, all right, today I want you to buy Charmin Ultra Soft. I believe your tush could take a break today, so use this today in Jesus' name. He doesn't walk around every corner wanting to tell us what kind of toilet paper to buy, what kind of soup to buy. But God has spoken to us daily, and it's called his Word of God. Every word in here is inspired by God. And God longs to speak to you, and as you put his Word into your heart, he's going to speak into your heart also. He's going to talk to you about things you need to work on in your life and your marriage and your personal walk with God. And so this is one of the greatest tools I've seen. It helps you with a plan. It gives you a journal. It gives you some goals. And these are $5 a day. So that's our cost on them. I've got 60 of them back there today. And if you want one today, you can stop by and get those as we leave today. But I've decided, not only do I do this personally, but I'm going to train my children to do it. I was talking to Melissa last night, my 12-year-old, soon to be 13, and she's going to 7th grade this year, junior high. I said, Melissa, this year that you and I, we're going to pick one day a week, and we're going to go to breakfast, just you and I, and we're going to go through it together. She's going to learn to journal. I'm going to do my journal. I'm going to teach her how to do it. So I figure I can do one day a week because I got 5 kids. And so as they get older, I'm going to spend one morning a week with one of my kids and teach them how to do that. And so hopefully she's in 7th grade now. By the time she's a senior, she can do it every day. And she's learned what it means to do every day. I've taught her how to do that. So first of all, I got to do as a husband, as a father, I got to lead it. And then I teach my children how to do it because I'm training my children to hear the voice of God, not just from their dad, but for themselves. And so I challenge you. Man, what a great tool. I know last we had testimony of marriages who said, hey, we would do it. Maybe the husband would do it before he went to work, and the wife would do it while the kids were taking a nap. And then at night time, before they went to bed, they would talk about, what scripture did you write out as your favorite scripture today? And talk about the journal. And it kind of keeps you on the same page. If you have a spouse and you can't do devotions together because of time schedules, then you know that you're reading this. My wife's reading the same thing, or my husband's reading the same thing today. And it kind of lets you know that we're on the same page, and you can come back when you have time. You can talk about, what's God speaking to you? This is what I got out of this, and what you get out of that. And this is a good topic of discussion. Let me close this story. Today, if you were wanting to learn to be a jazz guitar player, you say, all right, I'm going to go down to Missouri Southern, and I'm going to take some jazz lessons in college. You sign up for jazz. And you get in the class, and you get in the, you have a class one day a week or 2 days a week for 1 hour, for 50 minutes, and you take some jazz lessons on the guitar. You're going to learn something. You're going to learn a little bit about jazz, and you're going to get a little better. But what if the instructor came to you and said, hey, I see potential in you? And the instructor had been a former world-class musician. He said, I want to take you on as my pupil. And if you'll do this, I'll meet with you every day and teach you everything I know. But you got to be there. Every day after lunch from 1 to 2, you be in my office. I'm going to spend some time with you. And so five days a week, Monday through Friday, you're there. And you're spending that time with the instructor one-on-one. And he's teaching you how to play jazz. And, man, you're getting better and you're getting better. And pretty soon you're out playing concerts with as the band travels and as your jazz band travels and playing concerts. What happens? People look at you and say, man, that guy's good. That girl's good. They come up to you, hey, how'd you learn to play like that? You're going to say, well, you know what? I went down to Missouri Southern and took a class down there on jazz guitar. They're going to say, whatever. You didn't learn how to play jazz like that by a one-hour class a week. No, no, you've learned that from somebody else. Well, you've learned that from a master musician, haven't you? Oh, yeah, well, master musician's been tutoring me. Wow, you can tell because you sound just like the master. You see? Many times that's what we do. We come to church once a week and we get some knowledge given to us. And we're learning a little bit. But when you learn to take this word of God and let it come alive in your heart every day, every day, every day. Spending time with the master every day. Doing your scales every day. Pretty soon, somebody's going to come to your work and say, man, I'm going through a major problem in my life. My wife and I are about to get a divorce. My kids are just living this life, and I need some help. And pretty soon you're going to say, you know what? Let me just tell you what God wants to tell you today. And boom, you're going to speak a word of life into their problem. You're going to speak a word into the season of a marriage and things that are happening. And people are going to look at you and say, now, where did you learn that at? You're not going to say, well, you know, I've got a great pastor down there. Once a week he gives us a great sermon. They're going to say, nah, that's good and all, but no, you must be spending time with God every day. You must be spending time with the master because you sound like him. You're hearing the voice of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can learn from the master every day. And my prayer today, God, is that we would be people who would learn what it means to dive into your word every single day. We want to learn to hear your voice. And God, you long to speak to us. You long to disciple us. But it comes when we find ourselves as Martha, spending time at your feet, spending time in your word daily. Help us to have our life priorities made right. That no job, no quest for possessions, would come above you. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, before we leave today, you say, Pastor Gene, I'm here and I realize that my life priorities are out of sync. First of all, I don't even know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today, I want to accept him. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, but you say, I want to accept Jesus Christ today. I want to give you the opportunity here today. You say, I want to do that. Second question I have for you today is this. You say, Pastor Gene, I've realized my life priorities have been way out of sync. And the message today, God is challenging me. God is challenging me personally. That I need to grow personally. I need to learn to spend more time with him on a daily basis. If God has spoken to you today, challenging you that, just as a commitment to him, can you just raise your hand and say, God's speaking to me today to do that? Raise your hands. That's me, Pastor. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Anybody else today, say, God's challenging me today. Thank you. Thank you. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. First of all, you accept the challenge. I'm going to invite you to stand up today. I'm going to stay a closing prayer with you today. And those of you who raised your hands, the first step is admitting you have a problem or admitting you need help. Second thing is to act on it. And so I say today, stop by a table. If you didn't raise your hand, you need a new one. Some of you guys have had them before and you need new ones. They're back there. Stop by and grab one of those. They're $5. I just pay. That's the cost. We don't make any money on that at all. That's just simply what they cost. We'll pass it on to you the same price. I believe it's an important thing. I'm buying one for my older kids who can read and write good. I'm going to teach them. I don't expect my kids to have it done. I'm not expecting them to follow it every single day. But I am going to expect them to do it on a consistent basis. I want you at least one day a week, you and I are going to do this together. For a seventh grader, they can handle that. The next year, I'm going to ask them to do 2 days. And the next year, I'm going to ask them to do 3 days. And see, we're going to grow this thing together. That's what God's speaking to me. I'm not telling you you have to do that. I said, what is God speaking to you today? Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray for every hand that was raised here today that made that commitment. I wanted to know you more. God, we want to have ears that learn to hear. God, I pray for every hand that was raised. God, may your Spirit of God, we seal this vow we're making to you today. That God, we want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to learn what your word says. We want to learn to put your word in our heart that we may not sin against you. And we can grow and become alive and we can learn from the Master. Well, I pray as they do this, God, may your Holy Spirit speak and breathe revelation of your Bible to them, God. May your life come alive in their heart. And God, may we be people who are learning to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Table's in the very back. You can grab one of those for $5. Amen.